Well, greetings, it is Palm Sunday. Welcome you. The Sycamore Church welcomes you today. Glad you're tuning in with us for this Palm Sunday celebration. This is the day that begins Holy Week. Jesus came into Jerusalem on this day. Palm branches thrown in his path to the shouts of Hosanna, save now, save now. Would you join me as we pray together? Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, this wonderful day, this day of celebration. As we celebrate the day, Jesus, that you came into Jerusalem. And Lord, we do shout out to our world today, our community, the whole city of Savannah. Save now. We ask you to do that in and through us. We ask you to do that for our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Treasures ahead, we never know. Miracle. Oh,
Thank you, Hope and Logan, for sharing with us in worship today. As we come to the time of the message for this day, this Palm Sunday, it's a message about Passover. Now, Passover, we look back in the Scripture and we see the story there, and we see it completed in the coming of Jesus. But I want you to listen closely as I read the fuller story for you today, because it has very specific application for us as the church today. So, the title of this message simply is Passover. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 42. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And this is the fuller passage. Now, just to give you a little background, the Jews have been, over 400 years, have been down in Egypt. Part of that time in captivity, as they're in captivity at the present time of this story. They had gone down there during the time of Joseph, and now God is getting ready to bring them out. And that's what the book of Exodus is about, them exiting Egypt. But God does it in a special way with signs and wonders and with miracles. The passage we're going to read today is all about the institution of Passover that Jews, even to this day, even this week, as Passover will be on Wednesday, begins at Wednesday evening at sundown and goes through Thursday, they'll be celebrating. So hear the story. This is the basis of the whole story. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together, and he said to them, "Go and pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families, and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin. Then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and the sides of the door frames of your houses. And no one may go out through the door until morning. For the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top, on the lintel, and on the sides of your door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He'll not permit his death angel to enter your house and to strike you down. Remember these instructions as a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever." Jews are observing it this week in Savannah, Georgia. "When you enter the land of the Lord that he had promised to give you, you'll continue to observe the ceremony. And then your children will ask, What does this ceremony mean? Your reply is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for He has passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. And though He struck the Egyptians, He spared our families. When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshiped. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and through Aaron. And that night, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of the son of the Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all of his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night. There was loud wailing that was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. So Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. "Get out," he ordered. "Leave my people. Take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you requested. Take your flocks and herds, as you said, and be gone. Go, but bless me as you leave." And all the Egyptians urged the people of Israel to get out of the land as quickly as possible. For they thought, "We're all going to die." The Israelites took their bread dough before the yeast was added. Unleavened bread's where we get the bread for the Seder. And they wrapped their kneading boards in their cloaks and carried them on their shoulders. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. And the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites. And they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. That night the people of Israel left Ramesses and started for Succoth. There were about 600,000 men plus all the women and children. We're talking about probably 2 million people that left Egypt. A rabble of non-Israelites went with them, along with great flocks and herds of livestock. And bread they had baked, flat cakes with the dough without yeast they had brought from Egypt. And it was made without yeast because the people were driven out of Egypt in such a hurry. There was no time to prepare the bread or their food. The people of Israel had lived in Egypt for 430 years. It was the last day of the 430th year that all the Lord's forces left the land. On this night, the Lord kept His promise to bring His people out of the land of Egypt. So this night belongs to Him, and it must be commemorated every year by the Israelites from generation to generation. As I said to you before, there will be many people this week who will be remembering the Passover celebration. So, what's it about? What did God do in Egypt? Why did He do this? Well, you see, the killing of the firstborn, as it talks about the death angel coming through the land, that was the last of the plagues. There was plague after plague that came, and this is the 10th plague that came to the Egyptians. And at each plague, Moses was asking Pharaoh, "Let the people go. Let the people go." And over again, the Pharaoh would try to bargain back and forth. He never would let the people go. You see, in all of these plagues, God was trying to get Pharaoh's attention, to get Egypt's attention. And finally, He reveals this plan to Moses. He shows him in detail, and I read you in detail the story, how they were supposed to do it. They had this meal made in haste that Jews to this day celebrate, and they remember, call it a Seder meal. They have the unleavened bread, the bread that had not had time to rise, that bread. Many other parts of the meal that commemorate their bitterness, all the things that happened to them. But at last, a lamb was slain that night, and they would eat of that lamb, and the blood from that lamb was to go over the lintel, the top of the door, and on the doorpost. And at midnight, when the Lord came through Egypt, everyone who did not have the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, the firstborn died, even to the cattle, even to the animals, from Pharaoh's household all the way to those who were in prison. God honored the obedience of His people. And for everyone that had the blood of the lamb sprinkled over their doorpost, they were spared. You see, God delivered His people that night. They left Egypt and they were on their way to the promised land. Does that story sound very familiar to you? Do parts of that story, when you think about it, do you think about another story hundreds of years later? For you see, this other story happened when the Son of God stepped down out of heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and on this Palm Sunday that we celebrate today, He came into Jerusalem. Everyone had told Him, don't come. Don't go to Jerusalem. They're waiting on you there. They're going to kill you. But as a lamb going to the slaughter, He went to Jerusalem because He had eternal business to transact for me and for you. You see, Jesus suffered on the cross in our behalf. He had been tempted His whole life. He had suffered everything that mankind could suffer. The Scripture says He is tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. In every way, He was getting the attention of the world. He was getting the attention. You see, all the cameras were on Him. All the attention was there. For you see, as He died on that cross in our place, that truly became the crossroads of history for us. The crossroads of our humanity, the crossroads of our salvation. Now later on this week, as Passover will be celebrated, it was that Passover during that week, the Last Supper, that Jesus would share with His disciples. And it was at that Passover meal, that Seder meal that they had shared, that Jesus had shared every year since He came into the world, His family had shared that He would commemorate what had happened back in Egypt, the original Passover. And here He would complete, He would fulfill what all of those Seder meals were about, what they were predicting. You see, every time the Jews would come to celebrate this Passover meal together, this Seder meal together, they were remembering what God had done, but what many of them didn't realize is they were predicting what God would do in Jesus, what He would accomplish. And so, as Jesus on that night, it says he took bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body, which is for you." Now the bread He was holding was that unleavened bread, that bread made in haste, that flat bread, if you will. And He was showing them that He was the fulfillment of that. that He was the Lamb of God whose blood would be poured out in their behalf. So you see, every time that we share in communion, we're remembering the Passover, but we're remembering Jesus' fulfillment of that. Because you see, just like the Israelites were obedient to do what Moses said, Jesus was obedient to do what His Father said as He launched this rescue mission for us, for our salvation. He gave His life on the cross. That's what we celebrate. The symbol of Christianity, the symbol of a cross, of the perfect Lamb of God who gave His life for us. And He died in our place. He was buried, and 3 days later, He arose from the dead. And so, He then offers to us, all of us, who were covered. Remember, the death angel would pass over those in Egypt, the Israelites who had the blood of the Lamb over their doorpost. And so, for all of us who have Jesus, are covered by the blood of Jesus, as we've put our faith and trust in Him, the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've earned it. Those Israelites did not deserve it. They were chosen by God. They were recipients of the grace and the mercy of God. Just like every one of us, when we receive Jesus into our lives, we're receiving a gift of grace. Now, I'm going to ask Miss Audrey if she'll come at this time. And we're gonna reenact this Seder meal as Jesus fulfilled it in the Lord's Supper. The Scripture says, in the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and He said, "This is My body, which is given for you." And after supper, He took the cup. It was the third cup of the evening. It was the cup of redemption. The fourth cup we'll have in the millennial kingdom. And He said, "This is My blood, which is poured out for you." Amen.
Dusty, this is Christ's body broken for you.
Amen.
And this is His blood poured out for you.
Amen. Thank you, Don. We talked about what God did in Egypt through His servant Moses. We talked about what Jesus has done for us as we shared communion together. Now we've got to talk about what you must do. You see, we believe God is trying to get our attention right now. Throughout the world right now, there's not a country that is not thinking about one thing that is going on around the world. I got a phone call at daylight this morning from the other side of the planet from one of our dear friends over there, Stanley Amati. You know what Stanley's talking about in Nigeria? The coronavirus. You see, truly, this event has gotten our attention throughout the world. And isn't it time that we turn to the Lord fully with everything in our lives? Isn't it time that we begin to align ourselves with the things in His book, the Bible? You know, I'm no prophet of doom or anything, but let me tell you, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back real soon. He promised His second coming. We just commemorated His first coming. And He said, He's coming real soon. Every day that clock is ticking. Many people over the last several years they've joked around, they've made fun of Christians as Christians talked about things that happen in the world, and they're looking at the scripture and prophecies being fulfilled, and they say, oh, that's just a bunch of hooey. That stuff isn't going to happen. How could all that stuff happen and it connect the whole world? Well, I want to ask you right now, is the whole world connected right now? You better believe it is. This coronavirus has gotten the attention of the whole world. God was trying to get the attention of the Pharaoh in Egypt. He's trying to get our attention today. We must be obedient to Him. We must begin to listen to His voice. We must open His Word and read His Word together. We must pray for the deliverance of our country. There are several ways we need to pray right now. On this Palm Sunday, as we share together and we remember what Jesus has done for us in our salvation, I'm going to ask you to join me in praying that the destroyer would pass over us. Are you interceding for your city? Are you interceding for Savannah, Georgia, for Chatham County, for your community, for your family? Are you going before God and asking Him, God, save us from this? May we turn to You at this time, Lord, and give ourselves to You afresh and anew. But you see, there's another prayer we need to be praying for our people. It isn't just deliverance from the coronavirus. It's to be delivered from the death sentence of sin. You see, at last, one day, unless Jesus comes back, for all of us, we're all going to die. Are we going to be ready to meet eternity? Are we going to be ready to meet Jesus? And the only way that can happen is if, for us, we've experienced the broken body and the poured out blood of Jesus. Through faith and trust in Him and in Him alone. Our government ain't going to save us. We pray for our government. I thank God for the expertise of the medical community and all of that. But at last, we must lean upon the Lord. We're crying out not because we deserve anything from the Lord. We're crying out for His grace and for His mercy. Would you join me in just a moment as we bow our heads and let's meditate on what we've experienced right now. What God has spoken to you as we've opened His Word, as we've shared communion, as we've talked about our responsibility. Would you just join me in just a few moments of allowing God to speak to us? Now look this way if you will. I want to ask you to do several things. Number one, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm asking you, will you accept Him? Will you turn to Him and say, Lord, I need You. You can't save yourself. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to come into your life. If you've never done business with Him, He'll do business with you today. A second thing, I'm asking you. On this Palm Sunday, as you share, and I've always sent you an email, those of you part of the Sycamore Church, about this. As you share this message today in your homes on Palm Sunday, I'm asking you to share communion with your family today, personally. Not others. We're asking you to keep it in your family. We want to observe all the what our leaders have asked us to do. But I'm asking you to share communion. A third thing I'm asking you. On Wednesday of this week, which is sundown, it begins Passover. I'm asking you to put over your doorpost a sign that says, Jesus is Lord. Simply put, Jesus is Lord. It may be a sticky note. It may be a piece of poster board. And I'm going to ask you to leave it there for a while. I'm going to explain that later. But leave it there for the balance of this week. I'm going to share some more about that. But the sign needs to say, Jesus is Lord. Just as the Jews down in Egypt put the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the doorpost, we're asking you to put a sign that says, Jesus is Lord, over your door. As people pass by, you may not be able to go out there and shake their hand, but they can see this sign on your door. And finally, I'm asking you to do what many of you have already been doing a lot of, and that is to pray. I'm asking you to get alone with God and let God speak to you and pray for the people around you. Pray for your nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for one another. Pray for those who are sick right now, those who are sick with this virus, and pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones to this malady in the earth right now. With that, I want to conclude with a word of prayer and send you out. Lord, we come and put all these things in your hands. We ask you to move. We ask you to work. We ask you to speak. And on this Palm Sunday, we ask you, Hosanna, save now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go in His grace.